Are you obsessed with Los Angeles? Head over heels in love with the City of Angels? Well, this is the podcast for you. At Life Hacks LA, we hack the best in arts, eats, and activities in Los Angeles. So join us and become an LA hacker. And we are back with another episode of the Life Hacks LA podcast, where we hack the best of this city that you and I both love. Okay, my guest today is a fellow LA podcaster. His name is Tony, and he has written and been an editor for The LAist, The LA Times, and many more local media outlets. But his latest project might be giving him more insight into this city than anything he's ever done before. You know, we talk about it all the time here. LA has hundreds of diverse areas and neighborhoods, and your experience is very different depending on where you are. Well, Tony is exploring that with his podcast here in LA. He is trying to uncover all the diversity and secrets of the city by visiting every single neighborhood in Los Angeles and interviewing interesting people from those areas. And get this, he estimates that with over 250 Los Angeles neighborhoods that he plans to cover, it will take him about 15 or 20 years to complete this project. Now, that is an insane amount of commitment that can only come from someone who truly loves this city. So in this interview, Tony's going to share some of his fascinating history with Los Angeles, what inspired this massive passion project for him, the podcast here in LA, and why being an Uber driver has taught him more about LA than anything else. All right, guys, make sure after the interview, as always, you stay tuned for my own special hack for you. Take care, and I'll see you on the other side. Hey, what's up, LA Hackers? Welcome our guest today, Tony from here in LA. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going fantastic, man. I was just telling you, it's cool to talk to someone who's doing an LA podcast just like we are over here. You don't find many people that have that in common.
Oh, well, I feel like I do. And I feel like the people that I do know who have podcasts are so much better than me.
I don't know about that. You've got a pretty incredible project going on. But before we talk about here in LA, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where are you from originally, and how did you make your way to SoCal? Or if you're from here, where did you grow up?
I grew up in the suburbs of Illinois, and I came out here my senior year of high school to see the Rose Bowl. Illinois was playing UCLA, and I think they lost like 73-0, like something awesome, crazy. And there I was in Pasadena in January, and I was like, I cannot believe how beautiful it is, how pretty the girls are.
Yeah, not bad, right?
And I'm going to get back out on a plane to Chicago. So the day after high school graduation, that June, I was living in LA.
It just drew you in. You know, Tony, I tell people, so my dad was in the military. We moved around a lot. And I lived in Alaska, Denver, and all these cold places. But the coldest I've ever been in my life was a night in Chicago.
Does not surprise me.
Yeah, man. I was down at this hotel downtown, and they were telling me, you know, it's really cold out there. You better put on one of those windbreaking jackets, you know? And I was like, you know, I'm used to the cold, man. I didn't last half a block. I had to run back into the hotel.
Yeah, no, I had to make a deal with my mom a while ago that I was not going to be going home for Christmases anymore, that I would visit her every year for her birthday in September, which is kind of like the perfect time to visit the Midwest, because the summers can get, I was once an ice cream man guy in Chicago, and the ice cream melted in my truck. That's how hot it can get. So it swings from that to the kind of bitter cold that you experienced.
Yeah, it's crazy extremes. So like you said, you moved out here to Los Angeles, and you've built quite a career in journalism. I mean, you worked for the LA Times, the LAist, and the Academy. Before we talk about here in LA, can you just talk a little bit about your journalism? Do you have any advice for those who might want to follow in your footsteps?
I have lots of advice. I really got the bug in college in Santa Barbara. I went to UC Santa Barbara, and up there at that time, we had an award-winning newspaper, which was unique because we didn't have any journalism school. We didn't even have any adult supervision. It was just the inmates taking over. And that experience was fantastic because we just wanted to be better than our friends and our peers. And most of the people who were serious about that newspaper did go on to journalism, but I just didn't think that I was good enough. Even though I won all the awards that they won and wrote for all the different desks. For some reason, my self-esteem was just very, very low. And I didn't pursue journalism really until the blogosphere happened in 2001, really. And I started my personal blog for a couple of years. I did pretty good on that. And then I got lucky and Carolyn Kellogg, the great books reporter, stepped down at LAist and recommended that I get the job. And I ran LAist for a little while and it really blew up. And that's what got me my gig overseeing all the blogs at the LA Times.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. And it just shows you the opportunities, like the time that we live in. I mean, there's a lot of problems with this time period, but all the opportunity out there with the internet and just connecting with people and people showcasing their talent that they might not normally have had a way to do that, you know?
Yeah. And so I guess my advice to everybody is just follow your dreams. Yes, there's going to be that little voice in your ear that says you suck and you might actually suck, but there's a lot of mediocre people doing very well in their dreams. And after a while, you stop becoming mediocre and you'll probably become above average. And you might even be good at some point, but you'll never know while you're doing some other crappy job just to pay the rent. Like my advice is just try, especially here in LA, try in LA because magic can happen here way, way more times than it can happen in Podunk USA. And so give it a try. Don't give up. Try again. I wish I had jumped in earlier, but I guess things always work out.
Yeah, that's great advice. I mean, I always tell people, always stick with it because you're going to get better and better. I mean, I cringe when I hear my voice in the first couple podcasts, but that's the struggle that you have to go through to get there, you know? And
good for you for listening. I have a partner that does the listening for me.
Oh, you can't even listen to yourself, huh?
I mean, I listen for the other people. I just did a transcript of what's going to come out next week on Wednesday. And 73% is them, which is great. I would like it to be like 98% them. But I hear enough of myself. I don't need.
I do a few episodes now and then where it's just me, and oh my god, those are the hardest ones. It's so much easier to talk to somebody.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's get into your podcast, Tony. It's called Here in LA, HEAR. Can you share what the concept is, and then about what time did you start it, and why did you start it?
Well, I worked for the LA Times for about 4 years, and after that, I worked at KPCC. And each of those places had a variety of blogs. And the blogs at KPCC that really interested me were blogs that went beyond the normal radius that gets covered in LA. If you look from like Santa Monica to downtown LA, that's where most of the coverage of the media gets, from the 10 up to the Hollywood Hills, basically. Mm-hmm. And if it happens in the Valley, it's got to be like pretty dramatic news. Yeah. And South LA, it's got to be like really, really, really crazy for it to hit the news, which to me is silly. The Valley is as big as San Diego. And if it was called San Diego, would we cover it more? You know, and so I've always wanted to just kind of just walk around LA and talk to all of the people, neighborhood by neighborhood. And at LAist, we did a thing called the Neighborhood Project, where I had all of our writers write about their neighborhood. When I got over to the LA Times, magically, they created this project called Mapping LA, which once and for all listed all 250 neighborhoods in LA and showed you where they were. And so when somebody said, I really should make a podcast about LA, what would it be? I said, well, it would probably be what I've been kind of focused on for a long time, which is all of the neighborhoods. So this podcast is what I consider to be like the most ambitious podcast in podcast history, because it's going to take me 20 years to go to every neighborhood.
Wow.
Five people per neighborhood. And so it comes out once a week. We've been doing it for over a year now. We have over 65 episodes, and every single person is great.
That's incredible. You know, that's one of my favorite things about Los Angeles is just the diversity of all the neighborhoods. But I didn't actually realize there was 250. That's insane.
Yeah, I didn't either, to be honest with you, before I started. And I calculated it. I was like, I'm going to be how old before this is over? But whatever, it needs to get done. And it's going to take a crazy person to do it. And I am just that crazy person.
That's a crazy ambitious project. So you said you talked to 5 people per episode. You know, as a podcaster myself, I know how hard it is just to get one guest, you know? So can you share how you discover the people that you interview? I mean, you have such an interesting mix of people on your podcast, like from well-known brands like Vidiots and Skylight Books that people have heard of. And then just like colorful people that you wouldn't have normally heard of until we listened to them on your podcast.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry if it came out wrong. It's going to be 5 people per neighborhood.
Oh,
each episode is just one person. And I talk to them for about an hour. And the way that I get the people is a mixed bag. Some of the people are my friends. I've had, when I was about to come out with this very successful TV producer said, forget about strangers, man. You have incredible friends. Just podcast your friends. But I think that would be kind of boring. So some of the people are my friends. Some of the people are those that I worked with. For example, last week was Adam Shorn, who I worked with at the LA Times. He was a fashion writer, and the pandemic kind of closed down all the fancy fashion shows in Milan and Paris and New York. And so he pitched, hey, can I write about marijuana? And they're like, well, it's funny. They never truly said yes, because I guess they thought the pandemic was just going to end sometime soon. But one article after another, he was able to just churn out all these really great pieces about marijuana. So some of the people are my friends. The people I like a lot are friends who say, I used to live next door to this lady who's amazing. Or this is somebody that I work with who is unbelievable. And so I love strangers, meeting them for the first time and getting their story. So it can come all different types of ways. And if in this podcast, somebody knows that somebody cool and wants me to interview them, I've got to do 1,500 of these puppies before it's over. So
oh my God.
I will probably say yes. I haven't had any clinkers yet. Most of the people who get nominated or who ask me to interview them are fantastic.
So. All right, Tony, I got one for you. Okay, so I'm sure you heard of these guys, but this has been on my bucket list for a really long time. You know how LA is. You just collect all these things you want to do, and then you eventually get to them. So a couple months ago, I went to the Mosaic Tile House in Venice. And that couple is fascinating. I mean, like, I just had an opportunity to talk to them, not on the podcast or anything. I was just there. And then I just talked to them for a while. But are you familiar with that? The Mosaic Tile House in Venice?
Not really, no.
Oh, it's like this entire house, this older couple, they've got to be in their 70s or 80s now. They created an entire home of mosaic tiles. I can't even do it justice by describing it.
That is awesome.
But they're fascinating. Like when you talk to them, why they did it, they're like artists and stuff, and they're all in love, you know. So they bought this little house in Venice. So now every Saturday you can go in there and you got to reserve ahead of time because it's gotten really popular, but you can kind of just wander around. But I don't know if you've done Venice yet, but those are.
Well, I'm trying only to do 5 per neighborhood, and I've already done 9 in Venice because Mike, you're absolutely right. Venice is amazing.
Yeah.
The people that I've met there are so wide and varied. I don't want to say no, because I would hate to leave fascinating people on the table, and Lord knows where this couple is going to be in 20 years, but I'm trying so hard to not go back to places that I finished, and I've only finished a couple places, but I will keep the mosaic. I love Venice. I was just there yesterday, and it still is funky, even with gentrification.
There's I know. It's crazy. Like they live like a couple blocks just away from Abbot Kinney. So you're like, you know, you're all these super trendy restaurants on Abbot Kinney, and then you go to their house, and it's just this weird only in Venice thing that you could come across. But very interesting place. So let's talk about, you know, people try to sum up LA in one word, and it's impossible, right? But, you know, I thought about it a lot. And I think the one word to sum it up, if you could do one, is diversity. I mean, Los Angeles is so diverse in anything, like when it comes to food, when it comes to cultures, when it comes to landscape. Mm-hmm. And you highlight a lot of that on your podcast. So can you talk a little bit about some of the diversity you found in each of these areas that make them unique and special?
Well, I'm not intentionally trying to do this. When I worked at the Academy of Motion Pictures, I did their social media for about 5 years. And I consciously tried to have diversity out there because the stupid hashtag was Oscar So White. So I did my best to mix it up on Instagram and Facebook and stuff like that. But I don't think it's that hard to do if you're being honest with yourself. LA has, speaking of diversity, more religions here than any other city in the world. And I think that when you just go out and talk to the people, you will meet somebody who is of a unique descent. You know, the guy that I just interviewed yesterday, who's a Charles Bukowski expert living in San Pedro, is half Filipino, half white. A lot of halfsies.
I'm a halfsie.
Are you half what and what?
My dad is white American, but he's originally from Sweden. And my mother's from East Africa. So about as different as
See, but I think that's, you know, what LA is. Like, it's not even like that weird of a thing or that rare of a thing. It's just what it is. We really are a mixing pot here. But we're also a mixing pot of like lots of different stuff. So like one thing I love to ask people about is religion and spirituality. I've met more atheists than I thought I was going to meet, and also more Buddhists than I thought I was going to meet. So
that's interesting.
And you know, it's I'm still waiting on my first Scientologist to talk to and devil worshiper.
Oh man,
love one of each of those.
All right. If I run into any, I'll let you know.
Thank you. But I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. I mean, one of the guys I interviewed that was great is I just saw this van in right off of Hollywood Boulevard that was painted to look like Van Halen's guitar. And I was like, a Van Halen van? What? I got to just stand here and wait for this guy to come home. And he eventually did. And he's a guy from Indiana who's actually really good at guitar, and he's living in his Van Halen van. Oh, so it's like, my one word would be opportunity.
Opportunity. Okay.
The reason that guy came to LA was to reach his rock and roll dream. And he's done pretty good so far. He met a beautiful blonde girl and proposed to her in the Van Halen van.
You're living a pretty good life. You've got a Van Halen van.
So it's like there's some people that come here for the dream. There's a lot of native Angelinos are a little more down to earth as far as that goes, but they're succeeding in different ways. But I would say opportunity, because magic really can happen here if that's what you're shooting for.
Yeah, definitely. That's why people come here. You know, I get this question a lot from people who aren't from Los Angeles, or, you know, they visited before, but they go to the same old thing like Santa Monica and Venice and Hollywood and that sort of thing. But, you know, I try to explain to people that Los Angeles is very different depending on which area or neighborhood you're in, you know, and they can learn from some of your episodes. But what advice do you have for people who want to move to Los Angeles but don't really necessarily know which area is right for them?
I would tell them that the way that I pay for my podcast and my life is I drive Uber in the daytime. And I had these three girls the other day who are here for law school, two from France and one from Italy, and they were about to move into downtown. And I was like, you know, downtown's not really for everybody. And if I was 21 years old and didn't know anything about LA, I don't know if downtown is really the right place for me. I guess the advice that I would have is, if you're not on Facebook, get on Facebook. And there's a lot of neighborhood Facebook groups, and the ones that you think you want to live in, join those groups. And so one of the neighborhoods I finished was Eagle Rock, which was a place that I didn't really know that much about, and interviewed some amazing people, ate some really good food. There's this Mexican place that made it onto Jonathan Gold's top 100 called Cacao. Incredible burrito, like a $13 burrito. I never thought that I would buy a $13 burrito. Best $13 burrito I've ever had. It was great. And so I would say join, if you think you want to live in Eagle Rock, join the Eagle Rock Facebook group and listen to the people. And unlike Nextdoor, I think Facebook groups are a little more positive, and you can ask questions about housing and transportation and things like that. I guess the other advice I'd have is make sure you have a car and use that car and just drive around a lot your first year. That's how I learned just how huge LA is. And I also learned how to use a compass. This was before the GPS days. So I would get lost a lot in both the Valley and in Orange County, just driving around, exploring, but definitely explore, because LA is a lot more than just Santa Monica. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's great advice. It's so different depending on where you are. And you really have to spend a significant amount of time to get to know a place. So that's great advice, Tony. Now, on one of your episodes, you were talking to Alyssa Walker and you said something interesting. You said, when it comes to public transit in LA, you wished everyone would get one free ride a week. Well, why do you say that? And what else do you wish might happen in the future of LA to make it better for people?
Okay, so before I started blogging for LAist, I was very, very poor. And I was working at E, which was paying me just a little bit above minimum wage. And I would take the subway, the Red Line down to Wilshire, and then I would take the Wilshire bus to work. And it was so eye-opening to see LA that way, without a car, just taking like traditional public transportation. And so when I created my blog, I called it the bus blog, because I felt like when people talk about LA, the last thing on their list that they ever talk about is riding the buses and riding the subways, which is understandable. It doesn't always work for everybody. And I'm lucky that I live in Hollywood, close to the Red Line. So with Alyssa, one reason I love her so much is I feel like she's a kindred spirit when it comes to public transportation, that if you live close to both a subway and a bus, you probably should be using them more. And for example, today I saw E.T. at Universal Studios, which would charge you $5 if you drove up there. But the Red Line is only a few stops away. And then there's a little trolley that takes you up the hill. Mm-hmm. And you can just kind of space out with your headphones and just enjoy the ride. And I can't imagine a more calming experience. I mean, I'm no stranger to driving in a car. I think I put on maybe 600 miles driving Uber last week. But sometimes it's just nice just to let somebody else do the ride. And like the subway and the bus is so cheap, like so cheap, but still people don't do it. And that's why I thought of that idea. Like if it was just free, this band Negative Land had a song called "The Most Powerful Word in the World is Free." Mm-hmm. And if everybody just had one free day a week to take the subway somewhere, or the bus somewhere, they might discover a new neighborhood. They might discover a new restaurant, because some restaurants you just won't go to because the parking's so bad. And they might discover that public transportation is almost as fast, if not faster, depending on where you're going. And I think people's minds might change when it comes to taking this stuff that's running right this second. All around the city, it's running right this second. Just hop on.
Well, I'm definitely a fan of the subway systems. I'm such an LA nerd that I used to take like the Red Line, and you know, I didn't even really need to go anywhere. But because for me, it's not convenient to where I live, right? Like if I lived somewhere where I could just walk to it, I would definitely take it. But I would go down there just to take it, and I would go to that Universal stop that you're talking about, take the trolley up, stop at the Hollywood and Highland stop. I will say though that I've seen a couple crazy things on there too. So you definitely have your eyes open on that thing.
Sure. I've seen crazy things on the roads. I've seen crazy stuff on the sidewalks. Like
that's true.
You know, it's we live among humans, and humans are bizarros.
Yeah. When you live in a big city like Los Angeles, you're going to see some crazy stuff. So you got to just pay attention. But I think it's one of the most underrated things in Los Angeles is like you don't hear of tourists going on the Red Line or the subway lines. And, you know, it's a great, great way to see a lot of different things, you know.
That's right. And the new Expo line, I think, is a total hidden gem, because it takes you pretty close to the beach. And it starts in downtown. So that's not too shabby, because you can get downtown from pretty much anywhere. And then you can splinter off on these subways.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I've been wanting to take that Expo line. I haven't done that one yet, but you're so right. If you go downtown, I mean, you can get all the way to Universal Studios. I think it takes a little bit less than an hour. You know, you can get all over the place, so, and not have to deal with any of that LA traffic.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to talk to you. You mentioned that you used to drive for Uber and Lyft, or you do drive for Uber and Lyft, mm-hmm. and you've done like 5,000 trips or something crazy like that. But you also talked about how that's taught you the most about LA. So can you speak to that experience, and what are some of the things that you learned? Why do you say that's what's taught you most about LA?
Well, that was eye-opening. So LA Times was amazing job, nonstop work. I mean, day and night you're working, but it's fun. I love breaking news. I love all that stuff. By the time I made it to the Academy, it was more of like a 9-to-5 job. And I'm just a little too hyper for just 9-to-5. So I was like, whew, finally, I can be an Uber driver now at night. And so after work, I would drive for 4 or 5 hours all around LA. And one thing that I learned was I didn't know shit about LA. Mm-hmm. People were having me go to all the way in Calabasas to all the way in like Orange County. Like I went to every nook and cranny of LA and I realized I didn't know anything. And it was eye-opening. One thing it taught me was the names of the streets, which I took for granted. And I mean, obviously I knew the difference between Melrose and Wilshire, but like there's a lot of roads in between those. And so you kind of learn those, you learn little shortcuts of stuff. You learn how to drive in bad traffic and how to get around the traffic. Most drivers only last like 90 days. So if you've made it beyond that, there's something very wrong with you. And hopefully you'll keep doing it. So like one of the things that I learned driving Uber was what's behind these gated communities. I think I was on like one of the Kardashian streets for one trip. And the customer asked me if I could bring a bag of ice in with him. There was a couple bags of ice in the trunk because it was a big party. And I was like, hell yeah, I want to go into this mansion in Calabasas on, I think, Kardashian Street. And so that was kind of cool because I was like, all right, it's not that great inside. It's fine, but you know, kind of soulless. But what I learned about those gates was that first gate was like super hard to get through. The guy has an iPad. You basically already have to have your name on the iPad. He doesn't really want to call any of the houses. And then the second gate is where the house gives you the code. Then you can get in. And so the other day I was in the Deep Valley, the North Valley. And I think it was a gated community where the chief of police is. And during Black Lives Matter, a bunch of activists went to his house and just walked around the gate. They didn't drive their car through it and planted a whole bunch of signs on his front yard saying stuff like Black Lives Matter, defund the cops. And so that gate was impossible to get through. Me, the Domino's guy, Papa John, we're all waiting on the wrong side of the gate trying to get in. And meanwhile, one couple after another is coming down from their community to get their pizza and in my case, their Uber, because that gate does not come up. So that was really interesting. So it's just all these weird little details that you see and places that you would never go in a million years, but your passenger wants you to. So you do. So that was actually another deciding factor on doing these neighborhoods, because I learned places like Watts at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, it's scary, but so are lots of places in LA. And so I kind of want to shine some of that light on it for everybody else.
Well, only in LA could your Uber driver, I also have worked for the LA Times and all this sort of stuff. You're like, hey, do you know anything about Los Angeles? Someone that's visiting and has you as their driver. Like, oh yeah, I used to work for the LA Times. And but yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I find that with walking around, like I talk about Los Angeles all the time, and I always discover new things. And usually it's, I'll go to an area and just kind of explore it, but not in a car, but on foot. And there's so many things you don't know, you didn't know were there, you know?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, Ciclovia is a really great way to explore LA. I wish maybe it can expand to Walklavia, you know, where you just, everyone decides to just walk around a particular neighborhood. I know that the guy who runs Franklin Avenue blog, he has what's called the Great Walk once a year, where they'll go all the way down from one side of Wilshire to where it ends. And some of these walks are a little easier than others, but it's to your point, walking is a great way to learn about something, because even when we're driving on the surface streets, we're still going like 30 miles an hour. Like there's no way to get any of the detail.
So yeah. I think you're really trying to focus on driving, you know?
Yeah. Let's hope.
Yeah. That sounds cool, man. I'm going to have to check that out. The walking thing.
Michael Schneider is the guy who does that.
Michael Schneider. Okay.
Variety. Yeah.
All right, cool. Okay. So yeah. And that's another great thing about your podcast, is that people get a chance to hear about these areas from people who live there, and then they can go check it out themselves. Yeah. Okay. So Tony, I'm excited for this question, because you've been doing so much traveling throughout Los Angeles. Can you take us through your perfect day in LA? From waking up to going to bed, what would you do and where would you go to make it your dream day in Los Angeles?
Wow. I like that question. Well, lately I've been waking up really, really early because it's been so hot, and I like to drive with the windows down. And so I guess I'd wake up around 5:30, eat breakfast, take a shower, and be on the road by 6. Around 6 o'clock, if you're Ubering, you're going to get a ride to the airport. I've tried to resist this. I'm done resisting. So fine, we're going to go to the airport. So I hope the person going to the airport is an interesting person and we have a nice conversation. And then I would love to drive a little bit around South LA, because even though I lived in Inglewood for a little while, Inglewood isn't all of South LA. And I want to learn more about both South LA and the Valley. So maybe drive around South LA for 3-4 hours and learn stuff, meet cool people. And then I would love to somehow get a ride over to the Valley and do the Valley for 3-4 hours and magically have the last ride be really close to my house.
Your dream day is what you do. Like, so you're doing what
But if, I wish I could plan it out like that. Usually I'm in places I don't want to be for too long. And then along the way, I would love for some of the passengers to say, oh my God, you don't know much about this spot. Have a burrito over here, or have Italian food over here, or have this and eat that for my little lunch and kind of learn about a new eating spot. There's so many foodies in LA, but I think that a lot of them still kind of stick to the Santa Monica downtown path. Mm-hmm. So if one of these is kind of off the beaten path, that would be great. And then I would hopefully take a little nap and then take in some really good rock and roll. LA is always amazing how many great bands are playing in LA any given night. Maybe a perfect day would be a show at the Hollywood Bowl. One of my favorites.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, and I haven't seen anything there yet this year, but I'm sure I will.
You know what I love about your answer, Tony, is that you probably know more about Los Angeles than 95% of people that live here, but you're still asking other people for what their opinion is. That's really awesome.
That's where the answer is.
Yeah.
Those people know.
It's really important too, Tony, because every neighborhood has their own best donut shop, best burrito, best tacos, best pizza. And if you don't live in that neighborhood, you typically don't know unless it's like super famous, you know?
Probably the first thing that I did about a neighborhood was at LAist, I had 30 regular writers and I had no money to pay any of them. So they were just writing to hopefully get famous. And some of them did. And so I said, all right, this month, I just realized Thai Town has 30 restaurants. There's 30 of us. How about everybody go to a different one this month, write about it, and next month we'll just whip them out one a day every day. And this is something the LA Times could never do because their rules are it's only got to be a critic that really reviews it. And to be a critic, you have to go 3 times and they'll never be able to do all of Thai Town. Let's do all of Thai Town.
That's awesome.
When nobody's looking. And so what was great was people ended up going not to their favorite Thai restaurant, but because somebody else had. And so they discovered new stuff. And so I feel like that month of going to Thai restaurants, we discovered some spots that were kind of under the radar. And so you're absolutely right. If we had talked to residents of Thai Town first, they probably would have told us that this spot was great. But you're right. The locals totally know where the good stuff is.
Yeah, definitely. You'd only know if you live in that neighborhood or you know someone that like you said, what's the place you said earlier? Was it Atwater Village?
Eagle Rock.
Yeah, Eagle Rock. So that's like near Glendale, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's in between Glendale and Pasadena. It's right in the middle.
Yeah. So that's not a place that people outside of that area typically go to, but people who live there, there's a lot of great restaurants over there.
Oh my God. It's a hidden gem. And you mentioned Vidiot's. Vidiot's originally was in Santa Monica. And I was like, God, why did you come all the way over here to set up your new shop? And they said, for a couple of reasons. One was the classic Eagle movie theater had gone up for sale. And so they decided to renovate it and make it something super cool. And then also rent out all these DVDs, this old style video rental store. And so it totally works in Eagle Rock because Eagle Rock is kind of a beautiful blend of old and new. And you're absolutely right. When people think of it, they think of either the place next to Glendale or the place that we pass by on our way to Pasadena.
Yeah.
And I think the people of Eagle Rock kind of like that because it's a little hidden nook that doesn't get a lot of traffic. because get a lot of nonsense going on. And so it's just a hidden gem out there.
Yeah. And those are the type of places and insight you'll get from listening to Tony's podcast. So Tony, where should people go who want to follow and learn more about you and here in LA?
Well, I just recently took our website from behind a paywall. So now it's totally free. All you have to do is go to hereinla.com. That's H-E-A-R, hereinla.com. I've got a Twitter account that's hereinla.com on Twitter. There's Instagram. I got a Facebook group. Probably the Facebook group is the best one because strangely, Facebook doesn't like it when I post links on my personal account to our episodes. But in the group, everybody gets to see it, which is really nice. And so we do something that's a little bit unique and really time consuming. Every single episode, I do a blog post because I'm a blogger, because I was the blog editor of the LA Times. I'm in love with blog posts because sometimes people will have videos that explain the story better, or there's pictures, there's maps. And, you know, for example, Adam Shorn, the weed guy, interviewed David Crosby and smoked weed with David Crosby. Like, you can talk about that, but isn't it better to watch the video of those guys together?
Yeah, you got to see that to appreciate it.
Right. So that's where the video comes in. And also some neighborhoods like Valley Glen. I bet you most people don't even know where Valley Glen is. And so
yeah, you
know, if there's a map. And so the blog post, I used to spend 2 days on these blog posts. Now I'm only doing one day just to give people a taste of like the greatest hits of the hour interview and include all those things that really doesn't translate well in just audio.
Okay, cool. Tony, I just joined here in LA. So
hey, thank you.
You got a new member here. Everyone go join here in LA.
Hey, wait. So do you live in Venice?
No, I don't, but I was actually gonna ask you to stay on for a minute. I was gonna say goodbye here, but if you could stay on for a minute, I'd love to talk to you for a few minutes more. But we'll say bye to our audience, guys, here in LA, H-E-A-R. They've got a podcast, they got a website, and definitely join the group because I'm going through it right now. And if you're an LA nerd like me, I'm already loving it. So thanks a lot for being on, Tony, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey there, welcome back, guys. How did you enjoy that conversation with Tony from Here in LA? Really interesting guy and a really interesting podcast. Like Tony mentioned, he has written and worked for some of the biggest publishers of Los Angeles News, and now he is doing his own exciting project with this podcast about our city called Here in LA. You can find out more about it on his website, hereinla.com. You can even join the Here in LA Facebook group, which I did recently. And of course, you can find his podcast on all platforms. Now that's Here in LA, H-E-A-R, not H-E-R-E, but here like ear, hereinla.com. Okay, guys, on to my special hack for this episode. Tony and I talked about it in this conversation, and I've said it many, many times in the past. If you want to explore LA right, go to a neighborhood and get out of the car and spend the day exploring on foot. Now, I have a couple favorite easy walkable routes in different areas of Los Angeles, but I think I've talked about those in past episodes. It's hard to remember with so many episodes, but I'm pretty sure I have. So instead, what I have for you today is a really good article I found. You know, of course, there's some stuff missing off the list, but it's the 10 most walkable neighborhoods in Los Angeles, and it's from Curbed LA, and it's pretty good. For the most part, I agree with them. It's hard to fit in all of them because it's only 10. So what I'm going to do for this episode, just to give you an idea of places that you can check out on foot, you know, you have to get there, obviously, because you almost have to drive everywhere in LA unless you're taking public transportation. Once you get there, park your car, jump out, and see a bunch of stuff on foot. So I'm just going to go through really quickly the list that they have from Curbed LA. Number 10, this is the top 10 most walkable neighborhoods in Los Angeles, according to them. Number 10 is Palms with a score of 87. Number 9 is Sawtelle with a score of 87. Number 8, they have Hollywood Studio District with a score of 87. Number 7, they have East Hollywood with a score of 89. Number 6, they have Pico Union with a score of 89. Number 5, they have Fairfax, the Beverly Grove District. They have a score of 90. Number 4, they have Koreatown with a score of 91. For number 3, they have Central Hollywood with a score of 93. For number 2, they have MacArthur Park / Westlake with a score respectively of 94 and 91. They combine the two. And then number 1, without a doubt, what they have here in Herbed, LA, in this article with 10 most walkable neighborhoods in Los Angeles is, drum roll, probably guessed it, downtown LA with a score of 95. Okay, guys, like I said, mentioned it many times on this podcast, definitely recommend you find walkable areas in Los Angeles and go check out things on foot, because you discover so many things that you wouldn't discover from a car just whizzing by. So I hope that gives you an idea. Those 10 that we just named, thanks to Curbed LA. That's all I've got for you this week. I hope you join us again on the next episode. And until then, take care.